real deal gold. Because anything else would be uncivilized. The Club of Rome. Club of Rome. That's right. Welcome, everybody, to the number one late night show, World at War. I am Dean Ryan, your host for this evening. There's so much to get to here tonight. I am running just a few minutes behind, but the point is I'm still running. And that's what it's all about, because tonight's show is titled The Club of Rome. And I'm not talking about a sandwich. I'm talking about a secret society that is not often spoken about, that is not often theorized by the popular influencers out there of today. But we're going to be getting into just that. And joining me for that very soon, coming up here in a few segments or two, is the one and only Jim Fetzer. As we're also going to be getting into some of the headlines of the day, as so much is happening, but yet nothing is happening at all, to be that confusing individual. We're going to talk about just how there is now people getting arrested in military bases, some of them, or at least one of them, in San Diego, California. We're going to talk about who indeed got arrested, and was he from China, and is he part of the PLA? As I'm saying that, we'll talk about also covering a warning from China about where to travel, and definitely one of those places they're not recommending and demanding you don't go is the U.S. Why is that? We'll discuss. Plus, retail owners and everybody who just owns a business, specifically in New York, they're furious because having a business in New York is almost an oxymoron, as the violence and the uptick of it is on the influx for sure. And Honolulu is anticipating a smart city persuasion of never before. We're going to see just how that goes, but most likely it's a Democrat controlled kind of island. So pretty much it's a smart city haven. And plus in the politics as well, some unruly things, as the cow fertilizer herself, Hillary Clinton, seems to be pecking out of her coffin and going on the Tonight Show and showing us what desperation truly, honestly, looks like. And I will share a report with you on that, plus a international showdown, as the doubling down efforts by Russia seems to be playing out, as they're not taking no for an answer, and they know exactly who's behind their attacks, plus some UK news and some Whopper and Miracle Jab news and a weird news, plus your comments, questions, and concerns. Yes, indeed. Before we get started, tonight is being broadcasted not on Facebook tonight. No, we're fighting Facebook and myself. We're now seeing other people, that's for sure, because the shadow banning is skyrocketing, and we have to throw off the algorithms. That's right. But we're still on YouTube because some people just don't know otherwise. So we're on Dean Ryan TV over there on YouTube, plus Twitter, Rumble, and Brighteon. That is for sure. So let's get started with a few headlines from around the world and in your neck of the woods, shall we? Oh, there it is. There's my penthouse. Isn't that beautiful? I think so. Anyways, here are some things that are very pressing around the world now. As I shared with you, China seems to be in question. We have not, they've kind of been off the mantle, haven't they, since October 7th of last year? Yes, they have. But let me tell you about this now, because now China is now warning their citizens, do not travel to the United States. Well, that is very, very suspect, especially as April 8th is approaching. Well, here it is. China issues a travel advisory for their citizens visiting the United States. They've issued a travel advisory to their citizens that increased unwarranted interrogations and harassment at airports, especially towards students, employees, is now underway. This response stems from recent incidents, detailed searches, questioning, reflecting broader political tensions, concerns over the impact of educational and cultural exchanges between the two nations. Before I even continue, you can't forget about Dr. Charles Lieber. Early 2020 was arrested at Logan Airport, who was a professor, I believe at Harvard, who was then arrested with his two supposed female exchange students from China, who wound up being PLA, and in his suitcase, in his briefcases, along with theirs, were 17 vials of what then was what we know now as known as the virus from the bat that loved us. And yes, so you have to question now the exchange student policy like never before, which goes way beyond ping pong diplomacy. Well, China now has issued just that. Recent incidents with the airports. Also, officials raised concerns to the U.S. about discriminatory actions, emphasizing the need now for improving bilateral relations and cultural exchanges. In recent developments, a significant issue is now underway because maybe something happened. Did something happen? Why should we be just not traveling to the U.S. if you're from China? Well, maybe something did happen. Well, here it is. Well, a Chinese migrant arrested on Marine military base. What was he doing? Did he think it was the marine biology, just aquarium? You know, the aquarium of the sea? Well, let's find out what exactly the whole deal is here. Well, yes, a Chinese illegal migrant now has been arrested for unauthorized entry onto the Marine Corps base in California. One of the biggest ones in the country, if I believe the biggest to be exact. Well, a Chinese illegal immigrant has, yes, been arrested in California for illegally entering the United States Marine Corps base and ignoring orders to leave. He wouldn't heed the calls to scram and get out of here. Well, the border patrols over there in El Centro sector, that's San Diego County, nestled in the Imperial Valley of the Southern California, boast a rich history of many cultures, but also plays the home to many Marines and Navy personnel. Yes, well, according to one of the chief patrol agents in El Centro, agents received a distress call from the Marine Corps base in 29 Palms regarding a Chinese national now who had breached the facility without proper authorization and persisted in disregarding instructions to vacate the premises at once. Well, a spokesperson for the United States Marine Corps Training and Education Command said the Chinese national attempted to gain access to the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms. Well, here's a quote from a person who's familiar with the Marine base. Well, he said the following, quote, despite being directed to the exit, the premises and exit now at the Candor Gate by the security personnel, well, the individual who seems to have been from China, no doubt about it, proceeded to enter the installation without authorization. He was acting like he owned the place, while the military law enforcement promptly intervened and detained the individual now, and he just would not go. Well, Customs and Border Protection, who subsequently took the individual into custody, well, shortly after the detention, well, confirmed his nationality and determined that he was unlawfully present within the United States, meaning he was illegal. Wow. Well, what was his purpose? We have yet to know. His purpose, intent behind all his actions are still being investigated. And so, you know, this seems to be happening in recent years. You might have recalled California has witnessed a notable uptick in the arrival of Chinese migrants since October 1st of pretty much last year, which exceeded 22,000 encounters. Can you believe it? 22,000. This represents a staggering increase compared to the 2,100 encounters recorded in the fiscal year of 2022 and the mere 450 encounters the year prior. Well, as a result, now China now stands among the 150 countries represented among the migrants arriving for a little vacation here. The Biden Travel Agency, if you recall, will have our federal officials now fear the potential national security risks associated with individuals hailing from this geopolitical rival. Unbelievable. And just to close here, it's worth noting that there have been numerous documented instances of the Chinese nationals at the direction of the CCP, who won't let us be, and who are engaging in espionage, stealing military and economic secrets for their Führer. Can you believe it? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Absolutely. Moving on now. Well, just to reiterate, the chemtrail phenomenon is just a now exposure in a daily dinner table talk, especially now for NBC, the most, well, probably the most entrusted name in all of history. Well, they're now having to cover it with Crow and everything on their face. Now, Tennessee lawmakers are now boasting as they voted to ban geoengineering with allusions to chemtrails conspiracy theorisms, NBC News says. Well, the bill would prohibit technologies that could modify the atmosphere, but lawmakers comment about it towed a line between fact and fiction because NBC cannot just succeed to the call that these things are real. And this is from a writer named Evan Bush, who deserves to be just doused in chemtrails himself. Well, the Tennessee State House representatives passed a bill recently, as of yesterday, designed to prevent the geoengineering. We heard about this bill. We knew it was up for a vote, but now it has passed. Well, the practice of intentionally modifying the atmosphere to counteract global warming is as mythical as Barack Obama's, yes, that's right, his birth certificate. Well, the bill now, which already passed the state Senate, covers a variety of technological interventions. Just to throw that at you and slap you with it, they include the theoretical ideas about cooling the climate by an approach known as solar radiation modification, as well as more limited practices that affect the weather, like cloud seeding, a technique used to increase rain and snowfall and eventually poison everybody who it drops on. Well, most geoengineering options are just theoretical and untested. Federal researchers have taken a few small steps towards studying their feasibility. Atmospheric scientists say there is no evidence of any large-scale programs. Yes, just like they said, it didn't come from a lab. It came from a bat. That's right. On its face now, they're saying that Tennessee's bill represents an attempt to prevent experimentation with or deployment of such technologies. And NBC, just and other just figureheads out there, they can't have it. They just won't even give it a line of thought, which is why we need to deal with them the way I feel. Well, in recent years, chemtrail conspiracy theorems, and realists to be exact, have evolved, with believers suggesting the contrails are actually aerosols designed to control weather or the climate. The Tennessee Lookout, a nonprofit news organization, reported that Republican Steve Sutherland, who is a hero in my view, one of their sponsors, referred to the chemtrail theories when he presented his argument for the bill to the reporter. So the guy who wrote this, Evan Bush, will be getting a very hateful letter from me today because I don't like him. I hate him, and I hate his last name too. That's the way I feel, because I can't breathe, and he shouldn't be allowed to breathe either. Moving on now, because here is something we want to get. We want to get Jim's take on what we just digested there, because he went to 29 Palms many, many, many decades ago, and maybe he might know and can fill us in on how the security breaches are possible, but what is the apparatus like, and what does this mean that we have now Chinese tourists breaking into very, very top high-level security places like 29 Palms of the United States Marines and Navy? Jim, welcome to World at War. What a night.
Well, Dean, I'm much less concerned about this guy who may have wandered into a base intentionally or not than I am with a warning not to travel to the United States, because that suggests to me, and I've seen others of this like, that China is expecting something to happen in the United States that would put Chinese citizens at risk. And I can only infer that's going to be an uprising from millions of these illegals who have infiltrated the country. So that's the part I find alarming. You get pedestrians, civilians wandering onto bases a lot. This guy may be a little retarded. I mean, I'm just telling you. What's important, Dean, is that travel ban. That is very significant.
Well, here it is, Jim, just to point it out and let you know. They've expressed its concerns to the U.S. political and discriminatory law enforcement. I guess you should be allowed to just waltz on the bases. 50,000 young Americans but Jim, here's where I'm getting at is, isn't it, what does it say though, that it's not, you can't just waltz onto a Marine base. This seems to be happening quite often. And this is on the heels of 22,000 Chinese nationals in California alone in that whole area. To me, that is something to be concerned about.
Actually, you might think so, but I suggest not. I mean, civilians can want to come onto a military base. I mean, Camp Pendleton, Recruit Depot, San Diego, where I served and had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. I mean, you have people who are just curious. I don't think this is significant, the civilian, but the travel ban is a whole nother kettle of fish. I'm telling you, Dean, that's the story.
Yes, it is. It is the story, Morning Glory. All right, stand by there, Jim, because now we're going to be heading into just really incredible territories and waters as we now go into real deal politics. There's a lot of politicking going around. I'm not sure if I like it. But let's check this out now. So, yes, in addition to just the wonderful new bill that's passing, now seems to be intimidation now. Intimidation of free speech. Intimidation. Let me tell you about this, because now, if, like I said, Facebook is now suspect like never before. I don't really post anything there because it's now being combed by the Federal Bureau infiltrators. That's right. And a lot of lawmakers are now passing bills because of this. And what exactly is this? Well, here's a story. Check this out now. FBI now is questioning Oklahoma woman who made anti-Israeli post on Facebook. Really, what did that entail? What does that tell? And that shows you the Facebook is an FBI little cafeteria that they just hang out in and watch you from the other side of the window. One unsettling video now is being shared online. You might have seen it. It appears to show a trio of FBI agents visiting a woman's house to question her about political posts she made on Facebook. The confrontation took place at Stillwater, Oklahoma, home of the Rola Abdijawalabad, who said that the FBI agents came with screenshots of posts she made on the online platform. After telling them she didn't want to talk to them, she decided to record what was happening and asked them to show their badges on camera. They refused to do so, saying they had already identified themselves to her when she answered the door. She said she confirmed with local police afterward that the individuals who came to her home were indeed, yes, the G-men, and they were. Well, one of the agents even told her that they visit people often because they want to discuss things. They need someone to talk to. They asked her, Rola asked whether this was still a free country where people can say what they want. One agent replied, no, we totally do. That's why we're not here to arrest you or anything. We just want to have a conversation with you. We do this every day, all day long, and we get paid to do it because we're a bunch of just wonderful people. It's just an effort to keep everybody safe and make sure that the nanny state prevails. Although she does not know which post she made and raised alarm bells, and good luck if Facebook ever gets back to you because there's no humans that work there. Well, she's been posting about her frustrations of the war. Well, a lot of people seem to be. In fact, here is a little clip now of just the frustration. This is a friend of mine. Her name's Abby Martin, who's going to be kind of voicing the frustration of people like Rola, who may have relatives in the Middle East area, about the definition now that we have to clarify with either the G-man or just anybody who can't understand English of what a genocide is. So this probably would explain frustrations amongst many. Here it is.
Do you believe that what's happened in Gaza constitutes genocide?
I do, and I think that the fact that this debate is raging on shows that what Israel is doing is egregious enough. The fact that people are actually having a debate on whether or not it is genocide, like you said, the International Court of Justice has agreed that there's a plausible case for genocide. I think that you just clearly articulated several factors that Israel is, in fact, carrying out. The mental bodily harm and carrying about conditions to destroy a group of people. Clearly, the complete siege on Gaza, the elimination or the prevention, rather, of water, food, electricity, the prevention of aid, widespread preventable illnesses, killing people. Now we see 2 million people on the brink of starvation. Clearly, these are all intended to destroy a group of people. When you compound that with the indiscriminate bombing in the most densely populated places on Earth, I would absolutely constitute that as genocidal killing. And then peers, compound that with the fact that there's genocidal intent. This is usually one of the hardest things to prove in a case of genocide. Not the case in Israel's genocide in Gaza. We have 5 pages just in the ICJ ruling that clearly lay out the explicit intent to carry out genocide. And I'll just point to 2. The Israeli president, who said shortly after October 7th that no civilian in Gaza is innocent and that they should have overthrown Hamas. And because they didn't, they are essentially worth, killing. And then you have the defense minister shortly after October 7th that these are human animals and we need to act accordingly, as he announced the complete siege of Gaza. So taking all that into account, I would absolutely constitute what is happening is genocide. And Israel needs to be held accountable and stopped immediately because it's the gravest crime against humanity that a state can commit.
Very articulate. Very articulate. Thank you very much, Abby Martin. So yeah, that seems to be, you know, even expressing that would get you a visit now by the FBI brigade. Is they just jump rope and hop and skip to your door now. So, you know, is this a free country, she asked. You do the math on that. I can't even be bothered anymore. But now we're going to just skip to New York. We're going to bring Fetzer on here in a second. Get this now. Outrage. New York City business owners are fed up with the Carl Hestie. His name is Carl Hestie. Heasty and beastie, and some say yeasty as well, over the refusal to crack down on violent shoplifters. Yeah, this is an epidemic now. This is an epidemic. It's like walking into a war zone, but this is the ultimate goal, is to create the atmosphere in order to prop up the new smart cities and the 15-minute cities. Yes, that's true. Well, various Big Apple business owners are now tearing the state assembly speaker, Carl Heasty, to shreds over his refusal to beef up penalties for violent shoplifters, with some raging, quote, it's open season on retail workers like us. Well, Heastie, who's no just surprise, is a Democrat, sparked widespread outrage last week when he shut down Governor Kathy Hochul's plan to toughen sentences for the criminal, bizarrely declaring, quote, I just don't believe raising penalties is ever a deterrent on crime because I'm brain dead and highly, highly, highly blackmailed. Yes, here's a quote from the total moron. Well, he said, quote, how do you deter a crime except by penalty? Question. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, he had, this is the same gentleman who is now coming out of the Bronx. He says, our workers are, this is from one of the retail giants. Our workers are on the front line dealing with shoplifters and criminals. It's open season on retail workers in the city, and we have no one to help us, nobody to save us, and nobody to stop the crime from accelerating, which it does now on the daily. Can you believe it? Well, speaking of crime, well, this time it's not in the retail, but the crime is in the state and city government. That's right. I'm talking about Honolulu. That's who. Not many people outside a smart city know or understand what a smart city is. Well, people in the city of Honolulu, well, that's going to change, they're saying, very, very soon. Now, after all the chaos that has erupted over the course of a year almost in Hawaii, well, there's no investigation about the fires. There's no accountability. Now they're saying that Honolulu is now ultimately going to be one of the biggest smart cities in the world, with enhanced quality of life for its residents through sustainable development, efficient urban services, and the creation of more livable, workable, resilient city environment. That is, if you're not dead by the time it's propped up. So this is it. I mean, Honolulu is the concept and connect the with everything came well before the fires of Lahaina many, many, many moons ago. And it's also just to know the governor is all in on this. Josh Green and his wife, who just happens to be part of the Child Rescue Foundation with the gentleman who's the head of the PGE electricity over there. Just there's no investigation because these people don't investigate themselves. And I question whether even Hawaii is part of the U.S. jurisdiction of laws or if they're part of their own maritime fairy tale that seems to be only abiding by their own rules. So that's how that one is. And finally, before we get to this one here, I want to bring in Jim Fetzer as get his take, everything from Honolulu to the retail wars. You can't go shopping anymore in New York, and they need that, to everything about hate speech, just having an opinion that might be different about the Gaza and Israeli war. Jim, what say you, Jim? Because that poor woman must be freaked out getting a knock on her door by the FBI brigade.
Well, that's, of course, an atrocity. The FBI has become the headquarters for LSAs of America, leaping, screaming assholes. Francesca Albanese, who's a special rapporteur for the human rights situation and for the United Nations, has already submitted her report, Anatomy of a Genocide. It's already been passed by the Security Council of the United Nations by a vote of 14-0 with U.S. abstaining. It's international law now that Israel must cease the genocide, must release the hostages, and must provide humanitarian aid. But Israel, with the support of the United States, is ignoring it as though it were not a demand, suggesting it's merely a request. Pretty please stop the war? No. This is all a matter of fact. It's all a matter of finding. It's all a matter of international law. But what the Democrats have done to America is a disgrace. In the name of equity, they're putting criminals back on the street. They're abandoning bail. They're allowing repetitive crimes, and they're allowing shoplifting. I mean, it's destroying retail in New York. And, of course, the wealthy have already left. And because turning ordinary business transactions where you put up property for collateral has been turned into a crime if the Democrats don't like your politics, its investment is dead in New York. You're looking at a decaying city, and what's going on in Hawaii, Honolulu, they may talk about it as improvement. They're turning Honolulu into an outdoor prison, Gene. This is completely outrageous. People are losing control of their lives.
That's so true. But in regards to New York, one of our viewers said, and thank you for sharing, that the largest mall in Manhattan is closing. That's a lot of jobs. And what's going to happen to these people is we know they're setting up the United States, the West, Canada, especially England, for the universal basic income in order to just reiterate the social credit score. That is not good. What are they going to do? Just go to Florida?
I think you're making a good point, Scott. They want to bring about destruction, devastation, so everyone's dependent on the government, then impose their new equalitarian. Everyone gets the same amount of money, same amount of recognition. It's an antithesis of capitalism. It's absolutely lacking in merit. It has no response to qualifications, competence, following the law. This is a devastating tour de force against the United States. It's happening in every dimension, Dean. It's a shock, but it's the grim reality we face today.
In regards to Honolulu, Jim, do you see this going the way of the electrical vehicle? You know, the smart cities, you know, there's, if you recall,
I walk a mile in 15 minutes. 15 minutes, he said, you're not supposed to go beyond a mile. Well, that's simply absurd. It restricts your mobility. It means you're not allowed to do things you ordinarily would be allowed to do. It's about as, it's a peaceful way of incarcerating a large population by telling them this is good for them. Just as we were told about the vax, which has killed and maimed so many. This is the same kind of stick and carrot approach. They're trying to deceive us. It's one more giant swindle.
It really is. And I see the smart cities going the way of the electrical car. There's a lot of hype in the beginning. And then when they try to issue it, it just doesn't turn out well. But speaking of that, Jim, here's a report now I want to share for you, because somebody's back from the dead once again. It's just unbelievable how this cow fertilizer just doesn't seem to go away. Jim, I want to get your take afterwards, but check this out. Judge Juan Merchan expanded Donald Trump's hush money gag order on April 1st. Trump complained about the decision on Truth Social. The new order prohibits Trump from attacking family members of the judge, lawyers, and or court staff. It comes after alleged false claims about the judge's daughter, Lauren Merchan. She's a political consultant for a company that has supported mass bandit Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The gag order states that Trump's attacks inject fear in those involved with the case. The previous order protected only witness, jurors, and court staff. So Trump found the judge and his daughter to be fair game. Trump and his lawyers have said they will appeal the gag order. This isn't the only hit Trump has taken this week. On April 1st, his net worth fell over $1 billion after Trump Media shares plunged 26%. And he posted a $175 million appeal bond in his fraud case. His hush money trial is scheduled to start April 15th. It is yet to be known what the outcome of these show trials will be, but in the nick of time, the cow fertilizer herself, Hillary Clinton, has managed to resurface out of the graveyard to voice her opinion. Yet, desperation.
Talk about the upcoming presidential election.
Oh, no.
Yes, we have to. We have to. No, no more Easter Bunny talk. Yeah. I mean, it's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, love that.
Right? And, you know, it's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart, and really cares about people. And one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice. Really, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election, and hopefully, people will realize what's at stake, because it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have? What kind of democracy we're going to have? And people who blow that off are not paying attention, because it's not like Trump, his enablers, his empowerers, his allies are not telling us what they want to do. I mean, they're pretty clear about what kind of country they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get out there and vote.
Get out there
and vote.
Well, that's what this is really about. Get out there and vote. I mean, this is such an exciting, I would even say thrilling.
Jim, let's talk about this, because you have a runaway judge who's out of control, whose daughter is connected to the mass bandit campaign. And then you have the Hillary rodent Clinton, who is now trying to, you know, nothing to see here, but she just doesn't write a book and come out of obscurity for no reason, does she?
Look, all these cases are falling apart, and this is just more lawfare for the judge to have a ruling that Trump can't expose corruption involving the judge and his own daughter, for crying out loud. Six of the charges have already been dismissed. It's down to 85, but they're all falling apart. Fannie Willis has committed perjury. She's been exposed. You have the whole case about classified documents was absurd, because while they claimed they were similar, Trump was president. He had declassification authority. He had a secure vault approved by the National Archives and by the FBI. Biden, none of the above. Vice president didn't have declassification authority, had him in cardboard boxes, including in the garage with his Corvette. He had no entitlement to any of those documents. She's right about this. It is cut and dry. She's just on the wrong side.
Yeah, there's something up her sleeve. And the word I'm getting too is almost on the weekly, you have Michelle Obama's people sending kind of little memos to the people in UK in the government, kind of putting their finger in the air, trying to get a census on her running and being part of the presidential election, which, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, that she can just hop in there, or he or she can hop in there, replace Biden at the last minute, as far, you know, even in October. Is that true?
Oh, I'm convinced that between, you know, Super Tuesday and the convention in Chicago, they're going to replace Biden. No, he's not a viable candidate. Even if they stole the election, no one would believe it. I think his actual poll ratings are about 9%. They're in the single digit. Anyone who's paying attention. New polling has shown Trump would beat Michelle handily, by the way. And, of course, there's a lot coming out about Big Mike. In her history as a tranny, and they're trying to censor Joan Rivers, who very thoughtfully but casually exposed how Obama, when asked, now we have our first president, well, we have our first gay, and she says, oh, we already have with Obama, and of course, Michelle's a tranny. We all know a transgender. She's a man with breast implants and a huge shaving building. That's a fact.
Oh, boy, you might be right, Jim. I think you're onto something. We have people who are commenting just all over the place. This is a very polarizing topic, as you can imagine. We have we have Lena Star Moon, who said, what a wench. And then we have North Scotty said, miserable cow. Yeah, that's not a happy cow or a red heifer, for that fact. Jim, we have a break. Stand by there. We have a quick hard break, and we're going to come back with the Club of Rome. All right, we're going to take this quick break. And when we get back, we have a very long topic, and we're going to bring Jim in on this one as well. It's going to be on the Club of Rome. You don't want to miss it. If you think you know everything about the secret societal aspects out there, and maybe they stop at just the World Economic Forum, well, there's many, many more at hand and many to choose from on the World Deep State menu. So we're going to get into that after this little quick break, and a lot more to go. Stand by. We'll see you soon. Start over again.
in a world gone mad, appears a casual news broadcast can turn deadly real quick.
This control of the media too, Ken Sohn. She is a blow to the shirt.
And sometimes turn against the unexpected. One man's superhuman intelligence soon turns to superhuman strength. Jim Fetzer stars in The Fetzer Claw.
The game plan for the unfolding sequence of events as we live
from another galaxy.
Fetzer Claw is welcome back, everybody. The Club of Rome, incredible. Jim, you want to talk about your new horror movie coming out this summer? That was
very
incredible.
Very funny. The Fetzer Claw.
That's the Fetzer Claw.
You know, I think we ought to recommend it. FBI be redesignated LSA. I think that actually fits.
Yeah, can you imagine if the FBI had the Fetzer Claw? I'd answer anything. That is terrifying. Terrifying, anyways. Stand by there, Jim. Oh, wow. Just when you thought it was safe to go outside. I mean, that's just something interesting. Anyways, welcome back, everybody. I'm still Dean Ryan, your cruise director, who's cruising with you to midnight and beyond. And I love when we're cruising together. Just make sure you don't have the Fetzer Claw in your backpack. That should be searched. That is terrifying. Whew. Luckily, tonight's show is brought to you by a new, you might have heard it there. It is the Real Deal Coffee Mug Madness. Coffee Mug Madness. You can do that by going to our store. In fact, I believe it's in your live chats there. You can see that. We don't have that set because things are crazy. But anyways, the Coffee Mug Madness, every coffee mug is a discounted one because we want to make sure people wake up with the best intentions. Go to realdealmedia.tv/store. Use promo code COFFEE24. We'll put that out there. And also, it's brought to you by you, the Real Deal Media members, the Night Owls, the Debonairs with Visions, and also the Players from the Himalayas by going to realdealmedia.tv/membership, realdealmedia.tv/membership. And thank you as everyone who has donated to the giftsandgo.com, Real Deal Go. We wouldn't be here without you. Okay, there is that one. Now let's talk about it because now we're going to get into a very, very big mystery. What is that mystery, you might ask? Well, it's this one here. Real Deal Mystery. This is very, just one of those topics, one of these groups that's shadowy at best, but very mysterious at their just best as well. And that's the way they like it. They want you to, get concerned and get focused on the WEF while we do all the heavy lifting behind the scenes. Well, who is the Club of Rome? Obviously, it has the kind of affiliations with the Vatican. Well, it's one of the most influential groups that exist around the world with the most biggest elites. Some of them you know, some of them you don't know, because some of the world's biggest billionaires and anything past that, they don't want to be known. They don't want their face out there. That's not how this works. Well, now, so they always meet, just like the Bilderbergers. It all started in 1965 by an Italian industrialist named Aurelio Pesci. people call him a rally, I guess. Well, he made a speech many years ago at the Scottish head of science over there in a laboratory. And 3 years later, this whole thing came about. It's a meeting with European scientists, influencers. Although the first attempt failed to achieve unity, it has become what we know now as the Club of Rome, which has a mission statement of depopulation as well. So you'll see a common goal here, whether it's the WEF, whether it's the UN, or whether it's the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Group, the Bilderberg Group, but now this one, the Club of Rome. So they first started gathering in 1970 with many professors from MIT who offered to use computer models to be donated for many rigorously meetings that were hard to do back in the day, but very easy to outcome a very general statement of kill, kill, kill. Well, in 1972, the club's first major report called The Limits to Growth was published. You might have known that with people like Henry Kissinger, who took the steps, really, to start the depopulation module starting in 1972 onward, and no coincidence that the war on drugs started at that same time by Richard Nixon. So there was a call for objective scientific assessment of the impact of humanity's behavior and use for resources, which really defines the Club of Rome today. While the limits had many messages, it fundamentally confronted the unchallenged paradigm, they say, of continuous material growth in the pursuit of endless economic expansion. Well, many years later, 50 years, there's no doubt that the ecological footprint of the humanity substantially exceeds its natural limits every single year. And this has been the so-called concern for the Club of Rome, who have not lost their relevance, apparently, to this very day. Well, here's a little report to put it in a better perspective from John Bowne, who does a wonderful job. And here's some clips of just how these people talk, but are we willing to listen, and what are we going to do about it? Let's find this out, and we'll get Jim Steak after.
Warstore.com, body's ultimate turmeric formula, the purest iodine, the missing link, X3, 40% off.
Be a big revolution to bring companies and governments to really give importance to the long term. That would be a revolution. I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a peaceful. Peace doesn't mean that everybody's happy, but it means that conflict isn't solved through violence, through force.
We can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution.
You know, we could even have 8 or 9 billion, probably, if we have a very strong dictatorship and a low standard of living. But we want to have freedom, and we want to have a high sentence, so we're going to have 1 billion people. And we're now at 7, so we have to get back down. So a key issue here is the speed of the decline. We hope for a slow decline, because that gives you time to adjust. So a key question is, what is the force that we're trying to adjust to? And if we know the speed, then that tells us something about the kind of revolution we need. So we need personal revolutions. We need people to reimagine a lifestyle which requires much less energy and material. A minister of, let's say, agriculture would do something which actually makes the farming situation seem worse in the short term, but means 5 years from now, you have less energy requirement or less environmental damage or something like that. That would be a hard revolution. We need all of those kinds of things.
But because we need to get to zero emissions by 2050, we have to come up with an alternate way, which isn't too much more expensive, to perform those same activities without emitting any greenhouse gases.
People began to talk about a world in which greenhouse gas emissions and greenhouse gas removals balanced each other out, so that the overall effect was net zero.
We'll need to go from a world economy that pumps out on the order of 40 billion tons of CO2 a year to one that sucks down, that is, removes billions of tons per year in the future to get to that net zero future.
Bill Gates and his 17-year-old energy company, TerraPower, are planning their first cutting-edge nuclear power plant.
So this company, TerraPower, that I'm very involved in, it is talking with Chinese partners. It's signed some agreements where the pilot plant, there's a good chance it will be built first in China, but then it will be for global usage.
I don't use some of the less proven approaches.
Such as?
I don't plant trees.
Some people would even say that if you just planted enough trees, it could take care of the climate issue altogether.
And that's complete nonsense.
Okay.
I mean, are we the science people or are we the idiots? Which one do we want to be?
50 years ago, nearly everybody considered unlimited growth as the only pathway to greater prosperity for all. And then there came a group of young scientists and showed that there are indeed limits to growth. That truly was a revolution.
Club of Rome, it is good to see my old alma mater still holding the torch over there at InfoWars. Good on you, John Bound. Jim, let's get your take before you exit stage left here. You know, there's a lot of exposure in 2024. This is just another case of it, although people like us may have known about the Club of Rome, but people are waking up to this. What are we to make of the Club of Rome, which has some very nefarious objectives and mission statements?
Population growth are being out of control. It can be viewed multiple different ways when they study the limits of growth. I mean, right now, the Earth is sustaining a population of, I don't know, 3-4 billion, or is it up to 8 billion now? And I don't think it's being overtaxed. The problem is they're making up stories. They're using computer models that suggest we're going to encounter serious problems that are falsely attributed to CO2 emissions. Historically, over 600 million years of Earth history, there's no correlation whatsoever between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. None. If there's no correlation, there can't be a causal relationship. Even when there is a correlation, industries like tobacco have gone out of their way to argue it wasn't causal between, say, lung cancer and smoking, or pharmaceutical between autism and vaccines. Even though the more vaccines, the more autism, the less vaccine, the less optimism, we're being played. CO2 is actually indispensable to life on Earth. It's involved in the production of water and air, and has the effect of cooling Earth in 3 or 4 different dimensions. The EVs and all those other techniques are actually vastly more destructive. They produce more pollution. New studies show the tires from the heavier battery-powered cars produce 1,850 times more pollution than the exhaust from gas guzzlers because of their weight. The whole thing is a fraud. And yes, when Bill Gates says, the American people are stupid and unscientific. Yes, if they listen to Bill Gates, they confirm it, because he is one of the world's greatest liars.
Right, right. And then you got people like Bill Nye the Science Guy that are just, you know, masquerading, and people listen to that. It's just all these fake people. I don't know how this is. And here's what I don't understand is, you know, because I pose the question of what are we going to do about it, is if we know he's buying up farmland. Okay, and you have in Arkansas alone, their governor, Huckabee, the daughter Huckabee, who's the governor now in Arkansas, says it's illegal now for China to buy farmland in Arkansas, and I think that's picking up elsewhere. How is this legal for the Gates Foundation, which is committing treason, espionage for a global body of shadowy governments? How is this legal for him to, A, not only buy farmland, but B, how come he cannot be arrested by the U.S. Marshals or State Guard?
Well, if there were anyone a threat, George Soros, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, these guys ought to be at the top of our list of most wanted criminals for treason. You got a Biden admin that's going along with everything. They're out to destroy the country with the open borders. Bill Gates is a part of that scam, and it's outrageous, Dean. See, they're looking at the world as their toy. They want to control every aspect of life on Earth. That's why they're going to argue you need to reduce the Earth's population, because it's not manageable for them to run all of Earth's resources with 8 million. They want to cut it down to 500,000, 500 million, 500,000,000, Dean. That's staggering, and it's criminal, and they're doing it.
It really is, Jim. It really is. Before you take off, I did share with you earlier about the following, about a piece of video that I saw, Jim. I want to show it to you now before you exit stage right now. Here it is. This I discovered, and I want you to pay attention now to the leg of Barack Obama coming out of this supposed jumbo jet that's not Air Force One with the mass bandit himself. Here it is, Jim. I want to get your take on this. Where that leg? It's a fake leg.
Maybe, Dean. Could Brock have an artificial leg? That's very, very odd. It might be, Dean. I'd like to have more evidence, but it's certainly suggestive.
He could be
Biden's a walking cadaver. Why couldn't Obama be an artificial robotic creature? You know, I mean, this guy has done more damage to the United States than all our other presidents combined.
Anyways, so yeah, it could very well, he could be the bionic man. And here's another thing, I just real quick, is there are no campaign rallies for Joe Biden. Has anyone ever brought that up? Where is the so-called president?
Yeah, he can't handle him. He couldn't get out there and give a spontaneous speech. They're doing the the basement strategy once again, and they're hoping no one will notice.
Exactly. And
no one would turn out for a Joe Biden rally anyway. Nobody gives a damn. He's a phony, a fake, a fraud. He's a walking cadaver and an insult to the American people.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Fetzer, you can catch him on his daily radio show at Revolution Radio, where he is lighting the hearts and minds, the fires of liberty.
Revolution is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, RBN, 5 days a week, 3 to 5 Eastern.
8 days a week, but five. We'll go with five. All right, Jim Fetzer, thank you very much for being here. All right, there you have it. There you have it. Learn something new all the time. That long-legged Mac Daddy is a long, fake-legged Mac Daddy. I guess we'll have to call him now. Moving on here, as we now just scooch on over to some Real Deal International news, and there's a lot to get to, as you can imagine. Wow, that's big, but not big enough. Well, let's get to this now, because there's somebody who is now saying we are doubling down, and I'm not talking about Netanyahu, who is just a cadaver dog too, but of a criminal nature. Well, now we're going to talk about Russia's now doubling down in their efforts to express themselves, but express themselves by pointing the finger at Ukraine. Well, in an interview now with Russian state-run media, the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova, insisted that the Ukrainian government or its Western allies were somehow behind the terrorist attack that took place last week at a concert in Crocus City Hall near Moscow. Now, during the attack, the gunman entered the venue and opened fire. As you recall, Real Deal Media was the first to provide that footage for you that came straight from the concert from our contact. Then the parroting, just alternative media captured it the next day, but that's fine. We need to. Well, during the attack, many gunmen, or three at least that we identified, killed at least 140 people who died. Hundreds more are injured and missing. Now, an affiliate of ISIS, connected to the fake-legged Obama, took responsibility in the aftermath of the attack, with social media channels linked to the terrorist group posting graphic videos of the mass killing. However, I say, many in Russia remain convinced that there is a connection to Ukraine. Even if the ISIS militants were involved, they believe that they may have been used as proxies by Ukrainian and or Western intelligence agencies. Well, yes, they have. No coincidence that the fake-legged Obama went to 10 Downing Street in England just about a week prior to really reignite the old retired ISIS and bring back the new ISIS with some new members, but some of the old just the ISIS people we remember. Well, earlier this week, the director of the Russian Security Agency said the assailants were planning to escape to Ukraine, where they would have been greeted as heroes. Yes, and they caught him at the border. So there you have it. I mean, nobody can just accept that as truth, but yet as a fallacy they want to keep promoting. Now, Ukraine, it's worth noting, has denied involvement in the attack. Yes, they have, although they're trying to garnish just everybody's paychecks as they want to continue to go to war, or else they're going to be swinging from a tree like a little pinata, because Ukraine has now admittedly denied any involvement. Now, even French president and tranny lover Emmanuel Macron said French intelligence had information that the jihadists now were behind the attack and warned Russia, but they didn't hear the calls. They didn't heed no calls not to use it as a way to blame Ukraine and stir up anti-Ukrainian sentiment. Well, that's not hard to do because, you know, we're the ones paying for it. Very, very colorful language. Well, earlier this month, U.S. publicly warned Russia that the intelligence indicated extremists were planning the attack in Moscow soon. They provided a written warning to the country's security services, but to no avail, they say. But we already know, anytime you hear ISIS, it's a code for three letters that start with C and end with A. You do the math on that. Continuing now with a real deal international news. Well, that brings us to Germany, who is getting into the arena of, well, we can no longer support a genocidal maniac called Netanyahu, who has to wave the propaganda of, well, if not me, who? You don't want a so-called liberal, do you? Better keep supporting me. Well, here it is. Now, German support for Israel is waning now amid mounting death to the toll and famine threat in Gaza. And it is disgusting. It really is. Because if we don't recognize or understand what's happening in Gaza, it's going to come here next. That's the plan for the United States and the West, for that fact. Well, Germany's stance on its unwavering support of Israel is now beginning to wane as the death toll now in Gaza climbs beyond 32,000 and the threat of famine mounts. That's absolutely correct. Yes, it does. Well, a few days after the Hamas attack that was allowed to happen in October 7th, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz was one of the first Western leaders to arrive in Tel Aviv and stood beside Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as the German Chancellor declared Germany a loyal Israel ally with no place but only alongside Israel. Now, Germany history, and here's a quote now from the Chancellor there. German history and our responsibility arising from the Holocaust is our duty to stand up in the existence of the security state of Israel. And on and on. Now, however, now it's on the contrary. It is now said that, however, an international outrage has now mounted, as everyone can see, along with the unending death toll and the looming threat of famine, German officials have started questioning whether the support has gone too far. Oh, of course it is. You have to question this now. How about questioning day one, like all of us did? And sitting in the peer pressure of people calling you an anti-Semite just because you question, because the mind control and the collective thinking of what an ethno-state is in full effect. If you don't know what an ethno-state is, it's what some of the black supremacists want for the South. They want to have certain parts of the country, like people like Malcolm X at that time, and make it all about their culture and what their mission statements are. Or it's maybe what the neocons did to the Republican Party, where if you go against the Bush doctrine, then you're with the terrorist. You see how this works? So Israel is an ethno-state. It's an apartheid. It's been one. I've studied this for about 12 years now, 14 to be exact, I just realized. That's what's going on here. And you have a crime minister who has committed crimes against the United States president in the 1990s. And a dereliction of duty has been done as we have the double citizens in our country at the upper echelons of the United States federal government. Just like there are double citizens with China in the U.S. government, in the U.K. government, in the Canadian government, but you can only point out one of the two because of the usurped kind of narrative that has been spoon-fed to the American people for eons now. Well, that's stopping now because people are waking up to the deception, including Germany. Now, it's also worth noting in Germany, the unions at their airports, as we reported to you long ago, well, they have, you know, said, we don't want to support this war either. The killing, we don't want to be transferring weapons of war for more and more killings and more. So there's nothing, if you want to know what it's all about, war, what is it good for? The question is, well, here's the answer, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So that's how that one goes. Now, finally, as we now just sail our way to the UK, this is something interesting. As now, I've noticed during recent years that the homing situation in the UK has become an issue. The policy is if you get pregnant, you get a free home. The more kids you have, you get more free things. Well, nothing is free. And to quote Maggie Thatcher, socialism works until you run out of other people's money. Well, during recent segments on BBC television and Britain's GBN now, a panel discussed the UK's asylum seekers that we are now encountering here in the United States. Well, crises and what to do with the overcrowded cities. Now, regarding accommodating the invaders, political commentators claim that some Brits have already warned their homes may be compulsory purchased by the government in order to house foreigners. You see? And this is crazy because you're saying, well, why is this happening? And I have a good idea why this is happening, but let's hear how these people put it together before I just add my due diligence to it, as I have to just share what I know. Check this out. UK homes now for the migrants, not you. And they're going to kick out the elderly in doing so. Check this out.
Suzanne, where are we going to put these people? The uncomfortable truth, as far as I can see it, is that we are going to have tent cities of asylum seekers popping up around the UK.
Well, I think you summed it up beautifully, Patrick, just the huge pressure that we're seeing now on accommodation. And that does seem to be the only answer. But I'm actually a little bit more worried than that, because I think this is all getting very sinister now. We know that we've had people who have been told that their properties are going to be compulsory purchased for asylum seekers. That pretty much tears up private property rights in this country. I was listening to the radio on the way here, and they were talking about a massive problem facing Britain, which was older people living in houses that were, quote, too big for them. Who's got a right to tell you your house is too big for you? You should be allowed to live where you darn well like. And the implication was very clear. These elderly people are taking houses that they shouldn't have. And I fear that's a worry, that there'll be some kind of move to get them out of those houses. We've also had the horrible scenario last week when Matthew Paris, writing in The Times, talked about how euthanasia wouldn't be a bad thing if it encouraged elderly people to hasten their own deaths. So what? We've got to pop our clogs, have we, forcibly, when we're 60, 70, 80, 90, perhaps earlier, if we're not productive people in society, as Matthew Paris said it. So I think the whole thing now is getting really, really sinister and scary. Okay.
Sinister and scary. Yes, it is. Okay, so we're going to take a few inquiries, comments, questions, and concerns. Because I feel it's that time. We didn't really get to that opportunity last night. And here's some things we can converse about. But before we do, check this out now as the Diddy case, which next week we're going to get more into with my incredible guest from the legendary Hall of Fame band Public Enemy, who's going to be here with me, a good friend of mine, Mr. Professor Griff. But a lot of the just notables, the who's who in Hollywood, are scrambling around. If you recall, remember all of their praises for the Harvey Weinsteins and all these people, or Oprah's praise for the Son of God character that she kept promoting, but was doing a trafficking operation. Well, those things don't really age well. And here's just another example of that. This is Mr. Nick Cannon. You might know him as the guy who hosts America's Got Talent, the guy who got Mariah Carey to pop out two children, that individual here. Well, here's his praise, or his feelings, rather, of Puff Daddy. And it did not age well, but I'm here to just show him what a mirror looks like. Check this out.
Think about all that Diddy has done for the culture.
They asked me about Puff, and I answered it as honestly as I knew how to answer it. I know these people, they're not just public figures to me. What about Puff? I don't know how to feel about them.
Everybody has things that we have to deal with, and through love and understanding, we'll get through it.
Because I saw you leave like a, you know, nice comment for Cassie.
Yeah.
With everything that's been happening with Diddy.
And there's a lot of things that we probably don't know the details on, but we all on the outside looking in.
I'm praying for Cassie, trying to find the high frequency in knowing the story, knowing the right thing to talk about. I was like, this is someone who was hurt, who was victimized.
Nick making the comment while reflecting on his personal struggles in the public eye, including losing jobs over what many believe to be anti-Semitic remarks, for which he since apologized.
When I was going through my stuff, someone that called, checked on me, stood by me, stood up for me, when no one else would protect me.
We just like the audience, we sitting back, you know, praying and hoping for the best. But then at the same time, when you know individuals, it's like a family member. I don't agree with the behavior, but I care for the person.
So I have to almost do this dance about when it comes up, because just as much as I know Diddy, I know Cassidy.
Oh, everything Diddy did for the community, he's such a good guy, and his give back policies, and he loves the kids and the children, and he feeds his children, he feeds other people's kids. There should be a national Diddy Day. That's right, the NDD, National Diddy Day, don't you think? If you'd like to, join the convo and agree with me and make me feel great, or talk about how Diddy Day should be implemented, feel free to do so. You can join the convo at your leisure, or we can continue to sail into the midnight. So I'm going to be looking through the live chats for a common question or a conjecture. Well, here's one thing I found too. We have a comment left on Rumble. I'll be looking at those too. We are not on Facebook tonight if you're just getting here. And if not, here's one right here. This one's from yesterday. I saw this. It says, this one is from Austin Woman. It says, one vote for lose the beard. The beard. Says, you are cute though, Dean, although you look like the love child of Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise. Thank you, Austin Woman. That is one of the loveliest things. Thank you very much. You know, Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, and I adore those two guys, so I'll take that. Thank you very much. Here's another one. Here is, we have Rebel Mama saying the following. Brutality is coming to Canada. Yes, it is. I think it's there. And already they want to add autism to the MAID list. Yes, they do. If you don't remember last night, the euthanasia program in Canada is in full effect. And they want to say if you have autism now, you're eligible, not for a free gift card, but you're eligible to go kill yourself, which is another form of go freak yourself in a Canadian just dialect. Yes, it is. Here's another one here. We have B. Baker, who we haven't seen since the eclipse of 2000. Long time. She says, Professor Griff, yes, he is interesting. I have so many interesting stories. Nick Cannon is a super anti-white racist, Seth Black says. He's been doing an unofficial biopic on Nick Cannon for quite some time. Here's another one that we have. Thank you, B. Banker. Thank you. Dean looks great, whatever he goes with. This is just for a role that I'm doing, B. Banker. So it won't be here much longer. I'm not a beard person, but sometimes you have to, when you're filming, you know what I mean? It's a temporary ordeal. Thank you very much, though. And by the way, B. Banker is my stylist, so she can say that. Thank you. Liz Marchant, I love whatever you're comfortable with. Yes. House slippers and a tank top. We'll see. Let's go back to Rumble. We have now, autism is definitely on the talk of how that one is. Let's go here. We have Hazmat saying basically limiting oxygen production in regards to Club of Rome. Yes, they are. Yes, they are definitely limiting that and everything they can. A lot of people talking about homeschooling. We have Martis. Hello, welcome. She says Catholic schools are very expensive. I have my son enrolled this year, but can't afford it. No compassion for my autistic son. I'm thinking it is evil. I've never had so many problems. You know, there is a cure for autism. Somebody gave it to me, and there's a cure for it, just like there's a cure for schizophrenia out there. There's a cure for autism, but it was done on purpose. In regards to Catholic school, I 8 years at Catholic school and the education I got. And back then it was about $300 a month, I believe, the tuition was. But it was probably the best education I got, which then explained when I transferred to public school, I became like an A student. That's how easy it was. Continuing here, we have Angelina Wolf, who's saying, I saw on Instagram Diddy was reaching out to his fans, assuring them he's okay. Well, good to know. I was worried about him. And we had the candlelight vigilant last night for Diddy, National Diddy Day. Thank you very much, Angelina, being on the lookout. Oh, my Lord. Yes, B-Maker, yes. The Don DeLuise and Burt Reynolds, it's hilarious. You know, Cannonball Run's a great movie. Both one and two, that's something we should watch, don't you think? Here we have, I won't put that one up there. Here we have Mr. Wonderful, the wonderful Yankee says, he says the following, no permission to make a life, but gotta ask to take your own. You do. I guess that's what it is. That's a create. I mean, if you're going to take your life, let's say that was the only option. Do you really want to allow the government the satisfaction to have their MAID program, as they call it in Canada, to do that? I don't think so. No, that's not the way to that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. Dom, Isabella, love you too. Love you, Dean. Love you too. It's a love fest. It's a love fest. So, yeah, a lot of loving features here. All right. We're going to now get to that point of the show here. We're going to do the final, if you haven't heard of it, the final thought, which is brought to you by, well, this. Thoughts in the springtime. Final thoughts here as we close now the Club of Rome. It's very interesting. You look at the historical aspect, and every time I do, everything we're facing today is really like a long, long, boring, very deadly, thrilling, very sparsely game of chess that we have been fighting or has been pushed upon us for from decades and decades ago. Just the many of us now are waking up to it. You have the youth that still don't really have a clue in general. But those who do are now understanding not just how to play chess, but how to maneuver at all the punches. You know, when Van Halen said, you got to roll with the punches in the song Jump, it really was a metaphor for what's coming at us. We're being attacked at every orifice, at every crevice, known to man. But it's about maneuvering. It's about survival, really, at the end of the night. And as we're now talking about survival, we're living it, we're expressing it. When we get to the end and we beat the final boss by existing, we now understand resistance truly is victory. And that's what these people can't stand. And I really do believe that the smart cities and everything that goes with it will go the way of the electronic vehicle buffalo at the end of the day. So that's how I see it, and that's my final thought. I will be back tomorrow night. We have a very special edition of What Say You that will be featuring Toronto's favorite son, Aaron Cates, and Mr. James Grenvig. It's a very wonderful occasion that will be very engaging with the viewers all alike, as we're all a part of this wonderful magnetic show together. So don't miss that. It'll be tomorrow night, same time, same channel. I won't be on Facebook because they freeze everything and penalize people who participate. So we can't do that just yet. In the meanwhile, I want to thank Jim Fetzer for being here tonight and all of you. I'm Dean Ryan saying always remember to stay tuned and stay awake because life is a journey, especially, yes, you guessed it, on Route 66. Good night, everybody. By the way, happy birthday, Liz Marchant. That one's for you. Good night, everybody.